Hello, hello, we're live. Hello, dear starshines. Welcome to another edition of the Lunchtime Chat. I'll give everybody a minute to get on board. Dear Sister Beverly, hello. Hi, Carol. Hello. So good to have you guys. Please let me know that my sound is coming through okay. My signal's coming through okay. I'll wait for that response. And in the meantime, for those of you who are new to tuning into the chats, either live or via recording, my name is Christina, and I am a conscious acceleration expert. And we are here to talk about those topics and issues that are significant for us starseeds, way showers, new paradigm visionaries. We have capacities, we have abilities that are not necessarily embraced by our larger human family. Thank you, Susan. Hi. And therefore, we have very unique perspectives to the kinds of things going on during these times in this realm. And I am here to give, to the best of my ability, a liberated perspective to these pieces. So welcome, welcome, welcome. So good to have you guys here. So today, there's a few things I want to talk about today. I want to dovetail off of a few things that our dear sister, Ray Ellen, talked about in the planetary encodement activation that happened on Monday, because she brought up some really good points. And I want to go through a few of those things more deeply. And this is with, as she mentioned that, you know, this is the year of the dragon, right? And this is particularly the wood dragon. And it's all about building the foundations, a foundation of integrity for moving forward in your lives. And, you know, we're at this time, I think we all can agree that we're all at this time of transition and change, perhaps chaos, where, you know, those opportunities present themselves. And the energies of that particular discipline of looking at astrology, the Chinese astrology, is talking about this being an opportune combination of frequencies to build your foundation. So the dragon frequencies is kind of like a buzzword that's been going on for a while. So what I want to say about this is, you know, this is more than just a blip in the sound bites that are out there, okay? What we're talking about is that so many blinders, so many blinding veils have fallen that humanity is finally getting access to vast, vast wisdom and knowledge that and connection that has been lost to them for a very long time. And you know, the pieces that she brought forward about, you know, we're way showers, we help bring in change. And she also talked about, you know, how we make our intuition wrong, stuff like this. And I want to go deeper into those pieces, because if you're here listening to these chats, you are a way shower, whether you embrace that term or not. And what I mean by that is that you have come into this realm, you were born into this place, into this bio suit to experience this realm, encoded differently than the average human. And that means these encodements are connected into your own dragon knowledge, your own dragon aspects of self, your own cosmic levels of who you are. As the story goes, that the sacred dragons were given the responsibility of holding all the wisdom and knowledge that one must forget in order to experience separation from themselves. So we quite literally came in with the encodements inside of our blueprint to accessing ourselves again on a vast cosmic level. So this, because we were born with these kinds of encodements, we see things differently. We relate to things differently. We're not able to go with the program. We don't collapse the same way as others. You know, we're never, even though we may feel lost sometimes, we're never truly lost. We go through the experience of being lost, but we're never truly lost because of these encodements that we were born with coming into this world. And of course, we came into this world through a family lineage that, chances are we're a black sheep of that family lineage because they were not, though there were soul agreements to bring us forward into this realm, they themselves were not living true to these particular encodements. Maybe some of you were, but most of us, I'm going to say, were not. Most of us were born into very dense situations, into very dense lineages, especially those of us who've been on the planet for a while, you know. Now, these newer generations, I would say, you know, the younger millennials, the Gen Zs, there's all sorts of labels they give each generation. It's like they're born encoded too, but in a much more, I want to say, like the plant was already growing, their encodements were already fluid within them. We had to do a lot of personal work to activate our encodements, those of us who've been on the planet for a long time. And not that the younger generations don't have to work, but it's just different for them because there's a lot of infrastructure. There's already architecture put in place by the previous generations of wayshowers that support these younger ones to get to the heights that they're getting to. And they are doing some amazing work. Some of these young ones are absolutely phenomenal. And they're at places in their 30s that, you know, maybe took us several more decades to get to. So, but the fact that they're at these frequencies really is a testament to those who have come before, you know, that etheric architecture that we put in place through our own work. So you are a wayshower because you have these encodements, you think differently, and you're here to create a life that's according to your own terms. And you are the sole deciding factor on what those terms are. Now, granted, we do have our challenges, like I mentioned, but nonetheless, these encodements don't allow us to get fully lost into any particular program or role. These encodements keep us, let's say, tethered, so to speak, to some level, some aspect of our cosmic self, whether we are cognitively aware of that or not. So as wayshowers, we are, you know, we are subconsciously equipped to breaking the spells of the matrix, okay? Now we talk about the matrix all the time in different ways. And as these blinding veils have been falling away, we have been accessing vaster and vaster aspects of ourselves. And that, like I said, is coming through with that language of dragon energy, dragon consciousness. And there's all sorts of dragon consciousness to access. But really, now's the time where it's very clear just how deep the rabbit hole can go with all of these overlays of spell casting that has kept us blind from the truth of who we really are. So there are many constructs that we've just kind of default took for granted as being a truth. We really thought it was the truth because it was the only thing available to us at the time. But then as we grow and mature and expand past those nesting dolls, we realize, oh my gosh, you know, this thing over here that I thought was so sacred, wow, that's distorted. But you don't wake up to the distortion until you get past it. And what I want to propose to you guys is that as you get past it, this is you, your skill set on a subconscious level, your capacity of spell breaking, of breaking spell casting, okay? And the spell casting has been going on for many, many thousands of years. Ceremonial magic has been going on for a long, long time. And each one of those ceremonial rites are either reactivating, recasting, or powering up some of these spell casts that in combination come together to create what we call the matrix. And, you know, Raelynn mentioned something very interesting, and that is that there a portal to dragon consciousness to our field was through the field of Venus. Now, I have not heard this before, but I was feeling into it. And I don't really know where that myth came from or where that story came from that she was sharing, but this is my own perspective feeling into what she's talking about. Because part of what happened is that as we forgot, as we forget who we are, as we forget our source, where we come from, those aspects, the architecture, so to speak, those light codes within us are dormant or become hijacked in some way. And this idea of a dragon consciousness through the field of Venus teaching us a function of our mental field. You know, this is a very interesting concept. It's a very interesting idea to me, because once you get past the nesting dolls of who you are on the galactic plane, and you get past the realm of what I've been calling empire for a long time. A lot of you guys are Kvasalis community members, so you know what I mean by empire. But if you guys are new to this part of the conversation, this is an interdimensional, intergalactic hierarchy of governance that is commodifying life force energy. And it's all about control. So there's lots of layers to this inception that we call empire, but it's not everywhere. It's only in certain aspects. And there is an aspect of the feminine force that quite literally cannot be hijacked. It's what the Kero would refer to as the undomesticatable feminine force. As it's undomesticatable. It cannot be saddled. It cannot be broken. You see what I mean? So this undercurrent is always there, no matter how many layers of spell casting get put on it. And in fact, life would not continue without this feminine force being present. Okay, so they can't completely take over the life force flow. They only overlay it. And then the most effective spell casting is the kind of spell casting where we ourselves continue to feed it. Okay. So with this dragon consciousness coming through the field of Venus, this is a very interesting idea to me, because it feels like, you know, as we get, like I said, as we get expanded past the galactic, past the perception of empire and into these more free places, these places of free flow life force, you start to realize that the fall that a lot of people are struggling over, you know, this was something that really was a part of our maturation process. I'm talking about our maturation process of an infinite being in a biosuit. It's like this DNA, everything. All right, let me back up a little bit. Everything is always trying to get itself back to source. Everything is in its way of coming back home. So even when we're falling, what seems like going away from ourselves, that is still a very valuable series of experiences for that part of self that's experiencing it. And it makes that, and so as that self finally comes to the place where it wants to change and come back home, it has all of that wisdom and experience now within the consciousness. So the falls, the rise and falls of consciousness is all about exploring self and maturating different individuations, okay? So when she started talking about this dragon force coming through the field of Venus to help humanity with the cultivating the mental field, this is fascinating to me. I'm curious if you guys know what I'm talking or have a sense of what I'm talking about here, because, you know, dragon consciousness was hijacked at one point in time. It was dismembered. And we have this in our own mythology with all these holy beings, divine beings end up getting dismembered. The Cephalophils, those are the saints, the holy people that walked on this planet, the self-realized humans that self-realized humans that were decapitated. You have self-realized humans that had limbs chopped off. You had all these different activated light bodies that were an embodiment of their infinite self, as in they were awake past the spells of the matrix, and then they get severed in the human form, and that leaves an imprint and a doorway for that dragon, that part of the dragon consciousness, to get hijacked. So once something is dismembered, you can replace those parts with something artificial. Okay, so in this way, that's how dragon consciousness can and has been hijacked. It's coming back into wholeness step by step within each and every one of us, for sure. But this idea that she's talking about, it makes me go, this is interesting. Because this mental field that we work with on a daily basis, you get up out of bed and you make your coffee, do your breakfast, your exercises, your prayers, whatever, whatever your morning routine is, it's like, you need your mental field to be able to do that. And when I'm looking at the spells in the matrix going on, a lot of this spell casting is hijacking our mind, our mental field. It's not necessarily hijacking our soul essence directly, but it hijacks the mental field, so we start making decisions against ourselves, and that's where we lose parts of ourselves. That's where we become, beings can feed off of our energy, because we're making choices against ourselves. We're making ourselves wrong in certain ways. We don't feel worthy. We're, dot, dot, dot. You can fill in the blank, all the different mental constructs that drain our life force energy, or tell us that we're less than divine beings occupying a bio suit, creating timelines in our here and now reality, right? So all sorts of things are afoot right now. And it's very exciting, because with the lifting of these blinding veils that were in place, it becomes very clear that the control systems that once had a stranglehold, so to speak, like a iron fist grip on the trajectory of how we see, how we engage, how we interact, all these different that were, it was like an iron grip that was holding certain spell casts in place, aren't there anymore. And the only reason why those spell casts are still existing is because of how we feed it with our own thoughts and feelings. So our thoughts invoke feelings, and then we go through mind loops, and now we're holding that spell cast. So an example of a spell cast would be, let me first say that spells go beyond time and space, and it affects people long beyond the lifetime from which the spell was cast. So we are impacted from spells that we may have cast 100,000 years ago ourselves. We are experiencing the impact of spells and ceremonial magic that was done thousands of years ago. And there's a mechanism that reactivates it, okay? Reactivates these spells, that reactivates that scaffolding, that grid, let's call it architecture within the matrix. Our own choices reactivate these spells. So a lot of the architecture in place that was set up for us to lose ourselves and lose our life force energy and go deep into duality and all this stuff are not in place anymore, but we're still experiencing the spell cast because we are triggering it with our own behavior, our own actions. And an example of that, okay, I'm speaking backwards here. An example of something that triggers an ancient spell cast is making a choice against your own truth, choosing to ignore your truth and instead go with the program, okay? As soon as we make choices like that, we are revitalizing, reactivating the spell cast, reactivating the parts of us that are still in the experience of going against the self. And we're going to do that until we wake up out of it, of course. And this is why I'm saying it to you guys, so it'll start to give you a different perspective in how you engage certain thoughts that come into your field that cause you to make yourself wrong, So therefore you don't listen to an intuitive hit or in getting intuitive hits and then too afraid to take action. Okay. Or getting an intuitive hit and convincing yourself it's just your imagination, stuff like that. Okay. Every time we make decisions along those thought forms, we are reactivating some of this spell casting that's keeping us blind and disempowered. All right, hold on 1 second. I'm going to read a few things that are in the comments here. All right, so we have a dear sister Starshine, Felicia. She says, I feel my parents were way showers too, but had a deeper imprint of addiction blurring their calling. Yes, yes, yes. This is part of this. This is a part of the matrix casting I'm talking about. There's like implants in place that attract opposites. When really, through the, you guys know about resonance frequencies, really like attracts like. But there's these implants, programs, spells, stuff that's in the Akasha and in the cellular memory and the ancestry, where we get where the opposite of what we are comes to us. And we end up in, you know, getting fooled into engaging in it and somehow, and therefore we start owning it, right? And I mean, there's wonderful work done by Marguerite Rigo-Glioso, where she talks about the womb space and how there was spell casting done where women would give birth to children that that are not a frequency match to them. So therefore the child experience alienation from a very young age, and the mother also experienced alienation from her own offspring, and she starts hating herself for bringing offsprings into the world that just create more disharmony. Okay, now that's a very deep rabbit hole. I don't need to go down that one, but that's an example of the kinds of casting that has gone on to keep us in conflict within ourselves, within our families, stuff like this. And there's a lot of women that, especially in this lifetime that I'm coming across, where they're just like, yeah, I would love to have children, but not in the circumstances that have been offered so far. You know, it's like they don't want to get caught up in that. And I can relate to that. I can understand that. There's so many things falling away right now. It's miraculous, in my opinion. Sorry, I'm going on a tangent. Hello, dear sister Kristen. Welcome, welcome. I feel like this bout of innocence cannot be hijacked either. Yes, this is in reference to the encodements that I was talking about. And then Susan, hello. She says, how do I recognize dragon consciousness? All right, that is a excellent question. Excellent question. Okay, so there's a couple stages to this, right? Because there's dragon consciousness in its hijacked form, and then there's dragon consciousness in its self-realized form. Okay, so going back to that reference of the dragon consciousness coming through the field of Venus, so this is a lot of the most ancient teachings on this planet. The guardians of those teachings are dragons. So a dragon consciousness that is whole, that is self-realized, that is not dismembered, but has become whole again and reunited with its counterpart and is in oneness. It's a feeling. I don't want to say it's a particular image because images can be hijacked. Because all the images that we get from our intuitive senses, our third eye, our inner knowing, we have actually several perceptual centers that are beyond the third eye. Third eye is the one that, you know, a lot of people glorify, but it's not the most powerful one by far not the most powerful perceptual center we have, because all of the images we get from the third eye and these different other perceptions, the inner movie, the visuals that we get are created by the hypothalamus, which is just underneath the pineal gland here. And if the hypothalamus has contamination, either from trauma, from chemicals, or from energy, right? Spell casting, ancestral stuff, all that, then the movie that you get is not reliable. it's gonna be distorted. It could be fragmented, it could be reversed, it could be inverted, you know, all those things. So I wouldn't say a visual cue is necessarily what you would go off discerning if something is dragging consciousness. It's a feeling, it's an inner knowing. And when I am interacting with dragging consciousness, sometimes it's because that's my intent, right? And other times it drops in with a teaching. And there's, like I said, there's different kinds associated here. There's different nesting dolls of dragging consciousness because we have agreed to forget ourselves on many levels upon coming here. No, actually, not just coming here, but remaining here, staying here lifetime after lifetime. More agreements of forgetting could come in, right? So there's lots of nesting dolls like that. But in general, the feeling I have when I'm interacting with dragon energy is a vastness and a deep, I want to say, centered, silent wisdom. It's like a wisdom that once I realize whatever that nugget is, it changes everything. Okay. It just cuts right through any of the mental loops that I might be in, emotional reliving of trauma I might be in, you know? So it's a feeling. It's a knowing for me. Now, we're all in different stages of reassembling our dragon knowledge. And as we reassemble this dragon knowledge, we're building a bridge to the consciousness that is inside of our bodies, to a vaster consciousness, bringing it to be inside of our bodies. So I guess another piece I'd put in there is that it's an inside thing. If we're traveling outside, you know, this is where the deceptions happen. This is where the funhouse mirrors happen, right? So this is not reliable. Watching the outside and watching for signs, watching for communication on a universal level through synchronicity, that's one thing. But actually searching for a deep level of knowledge outside is inviting distortion. You always want to go inside with the seeking of the knowledge, seeking of the question like that. And this is difficult because we change frequencies when we're inside of our bodies, because our body is all kinds of different frequencies nestled inside of each other. So we need to choose, focus on the frequency that is our centeredness, that is our self, our big self. And that's going to bring us into the knowing of these different dragon pieces. So this is why we have Light Body Essentials. Light Body Essentials teaches everybody not only good energetic hygiene, but how to stay in your body and how to go deeper into your own rhythms to get to these places inside, right? It is so deceptively simple what we need to do. But because it's not, you know, this fancy dancy, you know, all the new age has all kinds of stuff. You use this crystal, you say this chant, you do this, you do that, you know, all that. People take it for granted. But I like simple. And through the exploration of my own reassembled dragon knowledge, it's like I have direct access on demand, really, of all the different lifetimes I've had as a master in these different teachings. So the Tao is very strong and relevant for me in this lifetime. So without even intending to do this, I ended up studying, going into darkroom experiences in a Taoist temple compound, you know, with a master. And I wasn't even really intending that. It just happened. And it was because that's what was necessary for me to reconnect with those past selves. The records of who and how that walk unfolded and the different wisdom that was learned. And not only that, but the energetic architecture of what it was like to be a realized being in those traditions. I also have a very strong connection with the Mayan, and the Inca, other wisdom traditions, the Toltecs, very, very big door openers for me. Door openers because it triggered memories, and these encodements, as they get triggered, they come into my awareness, I feed them, they grow, and they reemerge within the energetic architecture. So all of us have these things. All of us have this. It's just a matter of feeding it and letting it grow. And then as a default, things synchronistically come together. So dragon knowledge is the kind of knowledge that cuts through the confusion completely. It's something that it's a realization that completely changes everything. And it's so vast. There's a feeling, a sense that you can spend the rest of your life flushing it out. You can spend the rest of your life, multiple lives, flushing it out. But because we're in this here and now time where everything is very accelerated, that's why we have these encodements accessible to us the way they are, okay? The teachers that I worked with many years ago, each of these encodements were gifted through transmissions from master's student. And the way the energy and was back then, I'm talking about like 50 years ago or so, the way the energy was back then, the apprentice would get a transmission every 7 years. It would take 7 years of dedicated work and focus to activate the transmission, feed the transmission, and have it grow into a part of the light body where it's subconsciously informing you and erasing programming from the spell casting of the matrix world. But then they had a vision, the collective elders of those traditions had a vision of these times. They're like, okay, we need to get these transmissions out to everybody we can. So then they began 7 years, turned into 2 years, turned into 1 year, turned into 3 months, turned into 3 days, okay? And that's how accelerated things are right now. We are realizing levels of mastery within ourselves that other lifetimes or in previous generations would have taken multiple lifetimes or, you know, at the very least, you know, a good portion of like 40, 50 years. The Taoists talk about, you know, it took 40 years to clean out your ancestral heritage, the cellular programming that you inherited from your ancestors before you can truly walk your own purpose for being here in a body in this realm. Okay. And of course, this is accelerated greatly. And there's so many teachings available to us. And it's because this, so I have a theory on why we're able to change so quickly. Okay. And just think about your life here. Just think about how, what kinds of things happened in your life that inspired you to change or that triggered you to make a major change. Okay. So, I was listening to this evangelical preacher. I can't remember his name. I actually like this guy. He's super, super Christian, evangelical Christian, but he's so passionate and he's so like desires to speak the truth. There's like a real strong resonance in the things that he says. So I listen to him from time to time. Because really listening for me, listening to inspired people inspires me. It doesn't matter if they're in the tradition that I'm in, or it doesn't matter where they're from. If you're truly inspired, like you are truly in spirit when you're sharing, like from your heart, from your spirit, then, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or what your culture is. It's going to touch people truly. So he was talking about there are four main factors or four things that need to happen. One of four things that need to happen for people to change. And of course, there's that old Chinese proverb about, you know, people don't change until the pain of not changing is more painful than the change itself. Okay, so this is like the first thing. It's when not changing becomes really painful. So we change because it hurts not to change. So we actually have no choice. We have to make a change because there's so much pain, right? So think about when pain was the motivator for you making changes in your life. Okay. Just reflect, just maybe make a couple bullet point moments in your life where the pain was, had to be there for you to be, for to spur you to reach that place where, okay, I have to change. I have to change. Okay. So there's that piece. And then think about the collective right now and all the pain that they are in. There's a lot of pain going on. Okay. There's a lot of pain. And because of this pain, on a collective level, people are changing, not because they want to, but it becomes they have to. They have to change, okay? So in this way, this is one of the reasons why I don't feel like it's right to intervene sometimes with people when they're experiencing pain, because this is something that they need to make the change they need to make. Now, if I get an intuitive hit or a calling or something that I need to go here and do something, and it happens to help someone that's hurting or suffering, no problem. Absolutely. I'm going to follow that. But I mean, in general, I don't feel like I need to, you know, like I'm responsible for the pain that our people are in because of A, B, and C. You know, it's like, no, everybody is in this because change is upon us and we all are called to do the change that we need to do. And pain, unfortunately, is one of those major factors that pushes people into having to change. Okay. The next thing is when you see enough, when you perceive things, when you perceive things to such a threshold, when you're perceiving things going on, information, feelings, experiences like this going on, and it actually has reached, taken you to that threshold where you are inspired, okay? Now think about the times in your life where you saw something and you became activated and inspired and you made a great change because of what you saw, what you became aware of, okay? That's a big one. And I feel like as way showers, a lot of us are in that role, right? We're in that role, you know, to inspire. I'm told this is one of the things that I have a knack for doing. I inspire people to look at things differently, and therefore they feel encouraged and that it's more possible to make the change that they're being called to make. All right. And then there's educating yourself. It's like, I've been watching, so Dear Starshine in the Academy challenged me, this is a while back, I think it might have been 2 years ago, to listen to people that have a different opinion than where I'm at. You know, listen to others that feel like they are of opposing opinions. And so I took that to heart and started doing that. And what I learned, I learned a lot. And in that, I really wanted to change the way I say and speak about things because of what I learned. Okay, it's like I realized that my particular slant was my slant, and that slant was an accumulation of the different of my experiences and the particular perspective I have. But there are lots of other perspectives that create completely different slants. So by learning about these other folks and what leads to their slant, the way they see things, really helped me to want to change the way I do things and the way I engage in certain ways and certain attitudes I hold, you know. And this is another thing. A lot of us as way showers, we want to educate people so they can make a different choice, so they'll actually want to change, right? Okay. And this the other piece that he talked about was when people receive enough, when they receive so much, they are now in the place of feeling like they are able to change. They're empowered. They've received so much that they are now empowered and feel capable, able to make the changes that they need to make. Now, also think about your own life and what came to you where you received so much of it. It gave you the courage, it gave you the strength perhaps to be able to make the change. that you were resisting making. Okay. Now, each of you as way showers, because you're encoded in the way that you are, because this, these frequencies inside of us are growing like I'm going to say wild gardens, right? They're growing very quickly, very strongly within us. We're creating a life according to our own terms. And that means that we are facing each of these pieces that facilitate change. And every time we do that, every time we take action on that, every time we grow and change and shift things to be according to our truth, we're sending ripple effects through the collective. And we are helping the collective face these pain points, these different pieces that are coming to them, so they too can make those changes. Okay? Change is upon us no matter what. It doesn't matter how disempowered people believe they are. It doesn't matter on, you know, how powerful they think the man is or the narratives are or this or that. None of that actually matters. It's all about how much of each of these pieces meets their threshold in order for them to make that change. You see what I mean? Order for them to be wanting the change, inspired to change. They face it, they have to change, or they finally feel capable of changing, okay? All of these pieces we are contributing to as way showers. All right, let's see, dear Sister Felicia says, Christina, a calling is powerful energetic architecture. Pain motivates, but boredom does more for me. Ah, that's interesting piece, the boredom. You know, the Palladians talked about boredom. They feel like one of the greatest crimes of humanity is humans being bored. That's a surprising statement, I know, but that there it is. That's what it was, because we have so much creative force. We have so much vastness within us. We can endlessly create. So to be bored is the result of us, you know, hindering ourselves, stopping the life force energy. You know, this is us stopping the flow that naturally is a floodgate within us for whatever reason that we do that. And of course, the spell casting, right? The spell casting contributes into that feeling of not having anything worthwhile to put forward. It you know, it keeps us arrested, our life force energy arrested in a certain kind of frequency where we actually experience this feeling of being stuck, even though we're alive. Now, I said this in a couple chats ago, to be alive is to be in a constant state of transformation. That's serpent wisdom there. That's the wisdom of true power in this reality, okay? Holders of true power in this reality. So I want to go back into some of the spell casting in relationship to ancestry and clearing up our ancestry. So we're in this time of change, right? You're getting enough of all these pieces that you're making changes for these different reasons because you feel like you have to, you want to, you're inspired to, or you finally feel like you're capable of it, right? A lot of this is this change that we're making is us shedding the ancestral programming that our biosuits came with when we were born. So we become conceived. There's like this little thread between our soul presence, let's call that, and the cells multiplying within the mom. And then all the mom's thoughts and feelings that are going on, why those cells are multiplying. You know, we are connected to them through this little thread. And we're, you know, the more our mom loves us and wants us and treasures us and, you know, has all this stuff, we're saying yes to love more and more and more until finally at one point we end up imbuing the architecture that's happening within the womb space. And once we do that, we are now completely connected with our moms in the sense that all of her thoughts and feelings, we are experiencing it as if it's our thoughts and feelings, okay? This is a teaching I learned several years ago by a master teacher. And I have to say that when I first heard it, I was in doubt. But then once I actually went in and started cleaning things up at that level and profound change was happening, I realized, oh yeah, there's definitely something to this, right? So we come into this world, once we're born, our biosuit has been programmed, our subconscious and our awareness has been programmed by everything that the mother experienced. And then, of course, there's the family energy, the nesting dolls, and everything that informs us from there. So we come into this world pre-programmed, and then we're programmed further by our family experiences. And all those programs that were programmed further, that's everything that our parents inherited from their parents, okay? So there's these layer upon layer upon layer of ancestral programming that we experience before we reach the place where we are now living, or we are now living separately from the family unit. So what we're discovering, since we're so heavily encoded and these codes are getting activated like this, you know, they're getting activated very quickly, that it's pushing up very strongly against ancestral programming. And so we decided in Lightbody to just dive deep into the ancestral stuff, which you guys, I've been talking about this for a while now, right? Lots of major pieces get addressed. I should say lots of major hindrances to the flow of life force energy get addressed through ancestral work, okay? And as we do more ancestral work, the aperture of life force energy that flows to us from the ancestral realms gets bigger, 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 bigger. So we become a much more potent being because there's that much more life force energy flowing directly to us from our ancestors, okay? And so we're waking up, these veils are lifting, the spell casting, we're quite literally breaking the spell casting that has been over our community, but then also over our own lineages. And very recently, we had an experience where there was an amalgamation of belief systems that kind of looked like an entity that went through everybody in a particular lineage. And what these energies do is like it's shutting down the experience of freedom. It's shutting down the freedom of our DNA dance. So first we find them, we realize that they're there, and then we start cleaning them up with the different things that we teach within the essentials about how to dissolve energies and all this other stuff and alchemize things. You know, it quite literally liberates not just the person that's in the family, but everybody else that was also impacted by the amalgamation of that family entity. This is an important piece to keep in mind because we, like I said earlier, we often experience being a black sheep within our family. It's like we just don't seem to be a frequency match to our family, right? So we maybe feel like, gosh, you know, I'm the only one in my family doing this. Like, you know, the burden is all yours. But it's not, because as you liberate energies, it becomes exponentially liberated, okay? So think about this. You have, you know, to do it in numbers. Like you have a 2. 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 16. 16 times 16. You see what I mean? This exponential rate of liberation starts happening when you're liberating things from the ancestral realm like this. So the liberation process goes far beyond you. It has a trickle effect to everybody around you, but especially your lineage. And every time you call on your people, the ones that are helpful to you, you're strengthening that lineage even more, which means you're strengthening the life force energy flow that's going directly to you. You're strengthening the spiritual protection. You're strengthening the vitality of your physical body. You're strengthening your own connection to your people, okay? So in the beginning, maybe we felt like we didn't really belong here because of the way the family was, but as you do more ancestral work, you cross this threshold where you feel, for the first time ever, that you truly do belong. And then once you have that feeling of truly belonging, now your tribe is now magnetized to you, the people who are truly in your tribe start coming into your life. Those relationships start coming into your life, you know, friends, children, pets, coworkers, you know, all this stuff, because you're feeling more and more at home in your body because of the release of all this ancestor work. You know, all this ancestor work released all these reasons why you're not good enough, or why you can't do this and why you can't do that, or why you can't accept certain things. All that gets released and unwound, and now you can truly be home in your physical body. So everything that you want in your world, there's a teaching about, you know, you need to be a frequency match for it. This is the truth. So if you want to feel free in your world, okay, you need to do things that give you the feeling of freedom. So forgiving family members is a major part of that. Accepting is a major part of that. But the other thing, you need to step out of the spell casting that keeps you locked into what makes you not feel free. And a great example would be these conspiracy narratives. Not that, you know, it's all bad, but I'm saying if you have a problem feeling trapped and suffocated in your world, quit feeding your brain all those narratives that tell you that you're trapped and you're enslaved and the economy is going to crash and there's going to be this terrible thing and that terrible thing. It's like, you know what? If you're already struggling with being free in your world, don't feed the spell. Don't keep feeding the spell that's keeping you in that feeling. You see what I mean? Instead, we do something called the forgiveness practice. It's a multi-dimensional practice. It's not forgiving ego driver forgiving. No, 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 no. This is getting into the part, deep parts of your spirit, accepting things very in a deep level with the spirit of other things. And that quite literally liberates you. It liberates them and it liberates you. And the more you get mastery of this particular technique, you become that much closer to being a master alchemist, because alchemists, we alchemize energies that are disharmonic. We have a capacity to alchemize things within ourselves. Once it's alchemized inside of ourselves, it's now alchemized out here. And you don't know that it's done until you get the feedback loop in the outside world that it's done, you see? So the mind in its highest form, and I'm going to say with it being in alignment with the dragon consciousness, is your mind in harmony with your heart, in harmony with your spirit, and therefore in harmony with everything around you. Okay, so working with that dragon frequency that's connected with the Venus doorway that we're talking about, the teachings that liberate your mind, you know, emancipates you from mental slavery, that it'll be a realization of an epiphany that will change everything. And now that part of your mental field is no longer hijackable unless you let it. And even in the experience of letting it, doesn't mean you're going to continue to let it. You just need to have the experience so it's accentuated for you, so you realize what it looks like. And so next time you can choose differently. And you may stumble a few times. We all do. We're very human. But these encodements that are inside of us don't go away. It says what Felicia was mentioning, they're indestructible. They're indestructible. All right, there's another comment here. It says, innocence is a great transformer, where forgiveness is the natural step in the walk of love. Yeah. So how much time do I have? Oh my gosh, 5 minutes. Shoot, there's one more piece I wanted to get into. So just that last piece in forgiveness, I just want to accentuate to you guys. I know there are things that beings have done that you deem are unforgivable. It's not about condoning bad behavior. It's about liberating yourself from reliving the pain of it. So this is an example of where your hurt forces you to have to change something. Okay. This is where the forgiveness practice can come in, because it's not about forgiving others necessarily. It's about forgiving yourself. The experience that you have with others will get you in touch with the part of yourself maybe that you need to forgive, that's calling for forgiveness, it's calling for compassion, okay? So like I said, this is not an ego driver forgiveness. This is an energetic spiritual connection that I'm talking about. It's alchemical and it's very powerful. And this other piece that I wrote down, I really want to talk about. I only have a few minutes to talk about it. I don't know how good I'm going to get into, but it also relates into dragon knowledge. So I mentioned this earlier. We are creating timelines with our here and now choices. And our here and now choices, depending on where we're coming from when we're making these choices, that is us on the creating a timeline, okay? So if we create a timeline according to the spell casting program going on, then we're going to create more of that. But if we're taking action according to our own truth inside, our own vast wisdom inside into the unknown, then we're creating a timeline that perhaps doesn't exist yet. But there's this piece here that needs to get reconciled, and that is the difference between remote viewing, psychic perceptions, and prophecy, because they are very different. Prophecy is different than psychic perceptions, because something about dragon knowledge is that there's a herald that comes with the opening of knowledge like this. A herald is a sign, a omen, a red flag, whatever you want, a milestone, okay? And certain milestones need to be reached in certain ways for the next layers of that dragon knowledge to become accessible, okay? So this is where prophecy comes in. It's different than remote viewing and psychic reading, because remote viewing and psychic reading is specific to timelines, particular timelines. So timeline manipulation happens very easily. You manipulate someone's perception of who they are and where they came from. They are now ripe for you to hijack their timeline, because now you can tell them whatever you want to invoke whatever thought and feeling you want them to have. And now they're going to make choices out of that thought and feeling, and they're going to collude with you in creating this timeline. This is one of those ideas of artificial timelines, right? So artificial timeline means timelines based on lies, timelines based on things that are not the truth, okay? So a timeline that maybe, I guess, people are calling organic, would be what I would call a timeline based on the truth of what is, right? The truth inside of you. So we're creating timelines in our here and now choices. And there's this thread through that's, as you wake up to your multidimensional nature, there's this thread through that's connecting you to many different timelines and timeline potentials. So those will be psychic visions. Those are remote viewing data sets. Like sometimes I'm seeing things, feeling things from timelines that I'm only visiting temporarily to realize something or whatever. You know, it's like my consciousness is threading through many different timeline potentials, because I'm unwinding things interdimensionally, multidimensionally from my system that hinders my freedom, hinders my DNA dance. I'm here to realize my encodements and, grow them into this great garden and help you guys, help serve other humans that are also encoded to wake up and become empowered. This is one of my purposes. This is why I can put things forward in the way that I do, because it's part of the purpose that I'm here. So I'm equipped to do that. All of you are perfectly equipped for the purpose of why you're here. The trick is to shed the spell casting and the ancestral blinders so you can truly be in touch at home right here with who you are and acceptance of that. And then you can move forward with passion and clarity, right? Purpose and meaning, stuff like that. But getting back to prophecy. So prophecies are pretty much telling us the certain milestones that are hit in order for the next level of dragon knowledge to be open to us, okay? So that means when we are on our path of empowerment, a path of wakening up to self, our path some people might call it our path back home to ourselves. It is marked by certain events that have been prophesized. Okay. Now, a lot of these events that have been prophesized, the event itself happens, but what it means is distorted. Okay. So like the book of Revelations, it's like that's telling us the coming of the rapture, right? This will happen. That will happen. It's like, okay, they're taking real prophetic knowledge that is benchmarking our progression towards opening up deeper and deeper, vaster dragon libraries, accessing ourselves, our cosmic self. But they're telling the program overlaid on that, that means it's the end of the world. It's the rapture. You see what I mean? So we need to shed the programming, the fear stuff, and take the prophecy, the events in a different, you know, in a way that empowers us, that encourages us, that says, okay, this particular milestone is telling me that of a particular timeline I'm on. In this case, it's the timeline of going towards deeper realization. Okay. And this is, I think, why the solar flash has gotten woven in too, because there are timelines where the solar flash is a milestone. Okay. We're not necessarily committed to that unless we want to be. How do you know if you want to be? Well, you don't know until you know. The awareness, conscious awareness of things is only like 10% of the vastness of who we are. So this is where we let events come to us and we choose our relationship to that event. And as we do that, we are maintaining sovereignty of how we be. We're not being told how to be by these events, if this makes sense. All right. That was my little piece about prophecy. these are very, very interesting times right now. These are amazing, miraculous times. Miracles do happen. And the space we hold and how we maneuver and navigate through this time and space is part of what creates the doorway for these miracles to come forward. So do remember that miracles can be a way of life. They do happen. And the more we align ourselves with listening to the truth of who we are and get our actions to be going off of that voice instead of the programming, then we are quite literally opening the doorway and even hitting the acceleration button on those miracles to occur. So thank you, everybody, for giving me your attention. I really appreciate and value each of you being here. Oh my gosh, I had an announcement that I'm just remembering now that I didn't make in the beginning. I was supposed to. Ooh. Sorry, guys. One more thing. So YouTube has an AI going through all the YouTube channels, and they've changed the algorithm of what it is, what kind of videos they're flagging. So you guys may or may not have noticed, but there's videos on our channel that are getting removed that I've done years ago. Okay, so because of the algorithm and the system of what they're doing, we're going to no longer post the full version of these lunchtime chats on YouTube. They're still going to be happening on YouTube, but then they're going to be removed and put into a private host where all you got to do is, be a subscriber to the host and you can get a link to the full video. I'm sorry to have to do that, but I get the sense that this algorithm and this change of what's going on is something that is going to be far reaching, you know, and I don't want it to impact certain, you know, other communities, groups of people, stuff like this. You know, I cross international borders a lot, and I feel like there's going to be something tied into that. So I'm just mitigating and making sure that we can still have these talks. We can still exchange information and hopefully inspiration for each other. We're just going to need to do it in a more private way. So you guys live. We'll be here live, of course. But then after that, this video will be taken down and put into a private hosting place where you just, you know, sign up you just sign up and then you'll get via our newsletter every week, you'll get the link to the full video. So sorry, I was supposed to tell you guys that in the beginning and I completely forgot. Anyway, thank you, everybody. I really appreciate you being here. And the full video will be, the link will be on Rumble. Okay, thank you for that, thank you. All right, guys, that's it for me. I appreciate you all, love you all so much. You guys make it a great week and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.